The only way out is through. Mickey Ogun, a longtime friend of our church, said that to me sometime in the first couple of years of my ministry. Those first years were difficult as I adjusted to a brand new vocation about which I knew a lot less than I thought I did. I learned how to respond to expectations and created a brand new life in this place to which I had moved, with my cats being the only creatures who had ever known me before. I didn't acknowledge that I was dealing with fears of inadequacy, loneliness, and incompetence, but I was. In that first year, Elaine Durbin one time referred to me accurately as entry level, and I just got so huffy about that particular phrase. My goodness, how could I ever be entry level? Now, Mick was talking about himself when he said the only way out is through, but his words lodged in my heart and have stayed there. What I took them to mean, and what I take them to mean, is that we constructively solve the hard things that life brings by engaging them, not by trying to escape them. We got to traverse that dome. We got to get in that chimney. There are several levels where we might confront the places and things that scare us. The first two are easier than the third. The first is a physical level, like the mountain climbing. Dealing with physical fears requires common sense plus, of course, always, a little or a lot of help from our friends. Remember last week's first-time chalice lighter, Sasha Falcone? A girl who was standing in for her sick sister? She has major reservations about fire. Fear might not be too strong a word, and yet she did it. It probably helped that she wanted to help her sister. I imagine it helped that I provide an affectionate, supportive presence, and that we practiced with lots of space for questions. At the same time, it was her courage and wish to participate in our ritual that got her through with flying colors. Most of us, although not everyone, have decided somewhere about whether to go through a physical challenge and when to bow out gracefully. When I was learning how to climb mountains, I bowed out gracefully when it came to rocks. I just don't do that. I never did. The second level is a political or social action one. We can all understand the pull to simply turn away from the injustices and horrible practices that go on all the time in our world. It is really tempting to just pay attention to our own welfare and that of our family and friends, maybe our church or our school. At the same time, some issues make us fear that the quality of life for everyone will ultimately take a nosedive as a result of them. If we don't really engage them vigorously, hoping to get through to the other side where justice dwells, we fear that we might actually end up in a place we don't want to be. In 1994, we were in another building at that time, this church wrapped a red ribbon around its property and declared it a no-hate zone. And this was in response to Proposition 1, an initiative aimed at listing the ways that homosexual persons could be discriminated against. A lot of us worked very hard to defeat it, and defeat it we did. I believe that the relentless work of hundreds of people helped usher in the next phase of relatively more respect for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender person. I say relatively. Bob Huntley of our congregation, you heard a little bit about that in the welcoming time. He and others are doing their level best to make the state's sales tax system more sane. When the sales tax was introduced in our state, there were a few exemptions. Now there are lots. If this initiative gets on the ballot and passes, removing 19 of the exemptions, which represent $370 million, our justified fears for education and social services could be eased. So take some time this morning to visit the tables and the vestibules and see if this is a fear that you are willing and able to engage. The third area is a lot harder to get hold of. The fears that we need to get through in order to have a healthier spiritual, mental, and emotional life are often buried deep within us. This morning, I am drawing heavily on a couple of sources. One is a book called The Places That Scare Us by Buddhist nun Pema Chodron. I've been singing Brahms too much the last few days. And the other book is called Romancing the Shadow by Jungian analyst Connie Zweig and Steve Wolf, who is a clinical psychologist. I recommend them both very highly for this subject. And both books agree that our lives are full of behaviors and attitudes that arise from our depths, unwanted emotions and actions over which we have minimal conscious control. It's called the shadow in Jungian terms. Shadow behavior results from repressing and suppressing parts of ourselves that we fear to face. We may not like to think of ourselves as like that. Sarcastic or angry or mean or scared or whatever. We may feel that we will become terminally vulnerable and will get hurt. And we may fear the power of what is beneath the surface, anticipating that it could bring destruction in its wake. Getting a handle on the unacknowledged parts of our shadow is not easy. Becoming aware usually involves noticing behavior that's out of character for us, like the Freudian slip, some wildly inappropriate word or phrase that comes out of nowhere, often embarrassing us half to death, or the mean comment, puzzlingly different from our usual more or less kindly selves, the startling uprising of rage, becoming immobilized, a quick defensiveness about something before we've even heard the pros or cons, or forgetting certain things. In my first few years as your minister, I noticed a number of those actions and attitudes, especially blurting out comments that I then had to atone for, feeling confused and immobilized, and the rising up of inappropriately strong emotions. I was an in-charge kind of person, the oldest of four in a moderately dysfunctional family, and I had strong emotional responses to the kinds of challenges that new ministers always get. Don't do that. Don't tell me that stuff. I also got unreasonably annoyed by people that I perceived as whining. Now, I wasn't very familiar with the concept of shadow, but I knew I had work to do if I was going to remain in this great little town serving this excellent congregation. Let's take a little while, a minute or two, for each of us to reflect in the safety of our worship space and in the privacy of our own hearts on evidence of shadow in our own lives. Have you lashed out at someone? Developed an unexplainable funk? Avoided someone or something to the detriment of relationships or business at hand? Forgotten significant events or appointments? Called someone regularly by the wrong name? Made an impulsive statement or action that you didn't know where it came from? You get the picture. Let's just take a minute or two, just breathe into that for ourselves. This is a safe space and you don't have to tell anybody else. Of course, the great thing about doing this sort of thing privately is you can think about something else if you want to. You don't have to do this right now. But if we have, how now do we go about addressing these things? The bad news is that the process is non-linear, multifaceted, imaginative, often consuming, paradoxical, and it requires courage over time. The good news is that it can be done by Buddhist, Jungian, humanist, Christian, whoever. It is totally theologically neutral, and we can become more whole and more integrated. I have been here 24 years, pretty soon, and I have learned a lot. I've had a lot of therapy and analysis. Since 1990, I have been in a dream group exploring the unconscious with trusted friends. I paint and I draw when I am at my best. I read and memorize poetry and myth. I read books about all this stuff. I conduct rituals fairly often, large and small. I wish I did it more often because ritual is very valuable in dealing with this stuff. I do my best to pray as without ceasing as I possibly can. Some days are better than others. I go on retreats. I have discovered in myself the closet tyrant, the one who doesn't want to share power, and I have made friends with her, although our truce is sometimes uneasy. I have realized that an overreaction to dependent-seeming people stems from my unacknowledged wish to be just a little dependent myself. Want to be taken care of. Now, this is not to say that I have polished myself up to a flawless shine these past 24 years. Far from it. You and I have stumbled over each other's shadows time and time again. Years ago, today, yesterday, all the years in between. And one of the things that I am most proud of about our work together, whether you're old, new, or in between, is that a lot of relationships have collided ungracefully with the messy business of each other's shadows. And a whole bunch of the time, we have had the faith and the generosity and the strength and the courage to hang in through the non-linear processes of integration and learning and caring. Shadow work is religious work. It moves us from fragmented, conscious and unconscious personality pieces toward what the Jungians call the self with a capital S. It's the potential wholeness in each of us, allowing us to be more and more authentic in our totality. Pema Chodron, the Buddhist nun, likens it to a spring of water breaking through a small crack in the bedrock. Living water that has been temporarily encased in rock. Shadow work, facing those places that scare us, is something that the poets and the singers and the storytellers communicate best. Shadow, the places that scare us, those windings of our heart and psyche and soul and mind, it dances over despair and mystery and hope and rage and love and awe and confusion. It pulls us into Stygian dark and it whirls us through a cosmos of jewels in the darkness. I'd like to close with several poets and storytellers and singers who evoke this work. This one is by Rainer Maria Rilke, called I Love the Dark Hours of My Being. I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life already lived and held like a legend and understood then the knowing comes. I can open to another's life, so wide and timeless. I am sometimes like a tree rustling over a gravesite and making real the dream of the one its living roots embrace. A dream once lost among sorrows and songs. It is moving toward me. I have faith in nights. Leonard Cohen brings us up short with paradox, an ever-recurring theme in living into the places that scare you. Now maybe there's a God above, and all I ever learned of love is how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. And it's not a cry you hear at night. It's not someone who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a lonely hallelujah. 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 My heart is rent by the story of proud Queen Inanna, Babylonian. She descends into her sister's underworld realm, her suffering sister, for whom she has had no pity. Her impressive trappings of queenly office are removed at each of the seven gates until she is stripped naked. Her suffering sister, not about to forgive her, ultimately has her killed, and the rotting corpse is hung up on a hook. Don't you know how that feels sometimes? Inanna is saved not by herself at all, but by unpretentious, humble friends who have promised faithfulness. They show compassion for the sister's suffering. They listen to her as long as she needs to talk, and they persuade her ultimately to release Inanna. And then, having suffered herself, having faced her pride and arrogance, Inanna can return to the upper kingdom as a whole human person, a ruler with soul wisdom. I identify deeply with her arrogance, her journey, her pain, and the blessings of grace that she receives through faithfulness. And finally, here's a poem that I have read to myself and to you many, many times. Jalaluddin Rumi, the Sufi, says, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still greet each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond." May it be so.